Bava Kama, Perek Vav, Mishnah Hay, 6-5, and the Mishnah continues to discuss the halachas of Eish. So it starts out by saying, Hamadlik es hagadish, one who burns down the haystack. Now, it literally means who lights the haystack on fire, or the stack of grain on fire, but it doesn't mean that. It means that a person lit a fire in his own domain, but then there weren't the proper protections in place, and normal conditions prevailed, and the fire spread, and it burned down the grain stack in the neighbor's field. V'hayu bo kelim v'dalku, and within that grain stack or haystack, there were utensils. There was stuff inside, hidden inside the haystack. So although the Chachamim did hold, there's a drash they made that it's things like kama, as the pasuk, remember the pasuk which said regarding eish, said kiteitze eish umatza kotzim, if you have a fire that goes and spreads, benechel gadish, and it burns a gadish, the haystack, o kakama, or standing grain, o hasadeh, or the field. So three different things. So the rabbis learned o hakama, the standing grain that's out there. So they said that it says things that are like kama, standing grain out in the open, that's what you're liable for. But things that are tamun, things that are hidden, you're not liable for. Rabbi Yehuda rejects that drasha. He says, no, you're responsible for things. If you light a fire, you're responsible if the fire burns, even hidden objects. And therefore he says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yishala Masha Besocho. You must pay a compensation, not just for the burned haystack or whatever it is, but also for what was hidden inside of it. The Chacham Omrim, the rabbis say no, because they're drasha, Eino Meshalem Ela Gadish El Chitin Oshel Sorim. No, you just pay for the stack of hay or grain as it is. The extra words here of like Shel Chitin or Shel Sorim, of wheat or of barley, is because the rabbis hold that, let's say a person had hidden, you know, I don't know, a rake inside the haystack. So although one wouldn't pay for the rake that was hidden inside the haystack, one would pay for a haystack like as if it were full of hay, or if it was a wheat stack full of wheat, or a barley stack full of barley. The point is, you don't pay nothing for the empty space. You'd pay, if the volume of the hidden rake was 1 cubic meter, and one cubic meter of grain is worth $100, then you would add an extra $100 to the bill, even though you didn't actually burn up that $100 worth of grain. That's the idea here. Now, and we have to speak out, there are really two kinds of things that could be hidden inside the haystack. You could have things that are normally hidden inside haystacks, like farm implements, maybe a rake, or like a winnowing fork or something like that. Plow and stuff. They didn't have like storage sheds. People might hide their farming tools inside the haystack. That's one thing. The other thing is things that don't belong there. A person just hid his wallet inside the haystack, so no one would find it. That's a different thing altogether. So Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no exemption. You're liable if you're responsible for your fire, and therefore you'd pay for both of those things. Things that are expected to be hidden there, like farming tools, and things that are not expected to be hidden there, like a wallet. The rabbis say you pay for neither. Okay, so it's really one extreme and the other extreme. Now, that's part one of the mission. Part of the mission is talking for sure about lighting a fire in one's own private property and it spreads elsewhere. Now we have in part two, there's three parts total. Part two, it's like it breaks up the mission. We have a different issue here. It says, Haya gedi kafuslo, if there was a goat that was tied to the stack of grain, ve'evet samachlo, and there's also a slave, a human being, who's lingering about nearby, ve'nisraf imo, and although the Mishnah said explicitly, both the goat and the slave both get burned up in the fire. So then Chayev, the person who lit the fire, is obligated to pay. Now, the issue is that although you have a person dying here, since the person wasn't tied up, he should have just ran away. What was he doing lingering around and letting himself get caught up in the fire for no good reason? And so if he could have run away but didn't, so then the person who had lit the fire is not considered responsible. Therefore, he's responsible for not just the haystack, but also the goat that died there, but not the slave. You're responsible for the goat because the Tacham Hupaskin have a drasha that it says, O Hakama, or the standing grain. So there's really two words there. There's the O and there's the Kama. So Hakama, the standing grain, teaches you things that are galui, not tamun, not hidden things. The extra O, or, tells you things that are bale koma, things that are have height, have a stature, like the word kama. So that would include things like animals who stand up, like the goat, or also trees, would it be included as things you'd have to pay for if one lit a fire? Now, in contrast, the and one reliable for the goat in truth, whether or not the goat was tied to the haystack, because goats don't have da'as, so if the goat gets killed and the person lit the fire, he has to pay for things that are balei koma, things that have stature, like a goat. The flip side, however, and this really is this, you know, part two of the Mishnah, 2b of the Mishnah, is like, you know, it's working on a different principle. You have this principle of kimle b'derab mine kicking in again, which is when you have a capital crime, the murder of a human being, so then we don't also adjudicate financial penalties or components of a case. So therefore, once you have like someone being murdered, we're not going to make the murderer, I'll call him, now pay for the damage. That's the rule of kimle b'derab mine, as you've seen elsewhere in the Masechta. That being the case, the Mishnah says, if you had Eved Kafuslo, you had a human being, a slave, tied to the haystack, so he couldn't escape. So now his death is really the fault of the person who lit the fire. Ugdi Samachlo, and there's also a goat lingering by, that's just for parallelism. So then Venisraf Imo, if everyone gets burned up on the fire, then Patzor, then the person who lit the fire is exempt from making financial restitution because of this Kimle Bidurabine principle. Once we have a capital case to deal with, and we don't deal with the financial component. And the truth is, I'll make sure it's clear, like I said last time, it doesn't matter if, let's say, we don't have the Edom and Hasra, we don't have the technicalities that are required to prosecute this arsonist for killing this fellow. The point is, once you have someone dying and we're in the realm of capital case, potentially capital punishment, then we don't deal with the economic, the financial component at all. Now, what's happening here in the backstory, a bit of the picture is a machlokas, based on a fundamental machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding when a person uses a fire and he injures somebody with the fire, that the person dies, kills a person, I should say. So then, how do we look at that? So Rav Yochanan holds that a person's fire is like chitzo, it's like his arrow. The same way, if I shoot an arrow from my property and it lands on a person elsewhere and the person dies, so I'm responsible as the murderer, even though the arrow is far from me because it's my arrow. I don't look at my property. It's me. It's Adam Hamazik. It's a person causing damage through his energy, arrow plus like the energy of the you know, momentum of the arrow to the person, to the victim. So Rabbi Yochanan says the same really applies for fire. A fire is like a person's arrow. A light of fire in my house is, if I don't have the proper precautions or walls, or, you know, we saw in the previous Mishnah, you know, empty space that would protect the fire from spreading, and it spreads and hurts one elsewhere. It's like me shooting arrows over the wall and letting people get hurt, and therefore I'm responsible. And if someone dies, that's like an act of murder, and that's the case over here. So in accordance to Rabbi Yochanan, which is the halacha, we say that the fire could have even been lit in the property of the person who lit the fire. But the fire spread, and now he's responsible for the death of this Eved who was tied down over there. That's what we paskin. I'll keep it like that simple. Now, the Mishnah continues, and like part three reverts back to this machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda regarding tamun, hidden things. So the Mishnah says, if you have a case of umodim Chacham to Rabbi Yehuda, a case where the rabbis would agree to Rabbi Yehuda, b'madlik esabira, if a person sets fire to his friend's property, remember the first part of the Mishnah was setting fire in his own backyard. Here he's setting fire to his friend's property. So, and now abira means like a big house. A person's an arsonist. He lights his neighbor's house on fire. Shu mishalem kol masha besocha. So now the arsonist who lit the fire must pay for not just the structure that he burned, but everything hidden within it. Or if he lit his neighbor's haystack, he had to pay what's in the haystack as well. Sheken derech b'nei adam lahaniach babatim. Because that's what people do. People store stuff in their houses. And that's normal. And whatever's normal, you have to pay for. So therefore, what that means really is the rabbis are saying normal stuff is kind of anything that's normally kept in a house, and that you have to pay for, even the Chacham agree, because it's not a matter of the drusha of Eish and Kama, it's not relevant anymore, because this person, if the arsonist lights his neighbor's house on fire, it's not an issue of Eish, it's an issue of Adam Hamazik, he's causing a fire, directly. And that being the case, whatever could reasonably be expected to be in the house, one would have to pay for. And since pretty much people keep all sorts of things, anything in their house, he's liable for all of it. The Gemara speaks out that obviously if everything's burned up, we don't know what was inside, but we believe the owner of the house to report to us what the inventory was within there. And to the extent it's plausible, he's a rich guy and he's saying there's lots of valuable stuff, we would believe him. Now, reflecting back on the first part of the mission now, the rabbis say it's normal to keep stuff of value, like your wallet, etc., inside your house, and therefore you'd have to pay for the cash that could burn up as well. If a person lit a haystack on fire, intentionally, so the rabbis, the Rabbi Yehuda would say, okay, whatever's inside you have to pay for, both the farming tools and the wallet, etc. The Chacham would say, people don't normally store wallets inside of haystacks. That's not where they belong. So it's the derech b'nei adam lahaniach babat, and people keep things like wallets in their houses, they don't keep it in their haystack. And that being the case, the Chacham would hold still. If a person was an arsonist and intentionally lit their neighbor's haystack on fire, while the arsonist would have to pay for whatever's burned that should normally be expected to be kept inside a haystack, like farming tools, he still would not be liable for things that do not belong and should not be expected to be hidden inside a haystack, like a wallet. Okay, and all these things, the lach is like the chachamim. So bottom line there being, if one lights in his own property and the fire spreads without proper precaution, then he's liable for anything that's gully but not tama, not hidden things. And if a person lights in his neighbor's property, then he's liable for everything that he causes damage to, including what's hidden there, assuming that it's the kind of thing that is normally hidden in such a place.